You look at yourself as being this year more of an every down defensive end. Do you shoot for that? You want to be?
I shoot for that every year. You know, okay. And you know, all I can do is control what I control. I can work my butt off, and you know, whatever role you know I earn, that's the role I have, and I try to maximize those opportunities and those, you know, in those situations that I'm in. So, you know, I shoot to be, you know, to do it all, and whatever role I get is just what I got to embrace and keep striving for better. But that's definitely the goal.
Do you feel more comfortable now that it's a year here since you come back home, and you know the novelty of being back in this area, is that worn off because you've been here for a full year?
No, I never was uncomfortable.
Okay.
You know, so the South was more comfortable being here. You know, I don't really look at it like that. You know, I never was uncomfortable. So, you know, I feel like I'm at home. And when I came here, I was fortunate enough to be with a group of guys that accepted me, and you know, Matthias was, you know, by far one of my better teammates, one of my favorite teammates. You know, we were competing and pushing each other to get better, but he also was willing to get the helping hand. And, you know, guys like that, they don't get enough credit for things they accomplish and things they do and how they, you know, open the door to guys that, even though they're striving to beat you out, they help you and they help you learn. And so, you know, as soon as I got here, I felt at home. You know, JPP is, you know, a great teammate. You know, Demontre, Cullen, you know, I learned a lot from Cullen. So, you know, I think my comfort level when I first got here was at 100. So,
okay.
I mean, if you want to go over that, then, you know.
But wasn't there a little bit of pressure from all your friends and family that were in the neighborhood saying, okay, now he's back home. We don't have to worry about him being in Denver. We don't have to worry about him being in Tennessee. He's right here.
Yeah, I didn't know how to go about my business. You know, you know I'm serious dude. So,
okay.
You know, they don't really bug me too much. They probably bugged me more that I was in Denver than it was
here.
You know, because when I was in Denver, they had to catch flights and this, that, and other. So, here it was just like, you know, they won't come to the game. You want to come? Come. If not, it's not. And, you know, I actually have some family out here for practice. So, you know how I am. And I'm not shy about, you know, distancing myself when I need my time and when I need to handle business. You know, I'm real blunt with my family about, you know, I need to do this. So, it didn't really bother me being home or comfort or whatever you said.
You ever meet Strahan?
Yeah, I have. And I got his autograph. He was actually, you know, growing up in the area, he was a role model of mine. I idolized him, and, you know, local TV always had the Giants on, so he was the guy that I watched, you know, tearing people's heads off him, Imani Tuma, Tiki Barber, you know, all those guys, all those guys. And so I grew up watching that, and my father played the position he played, and my father, you know, he wanted to go to college defensive line. Fortunately, his career didn't go, you know, where he wanted to go, but watching him, he will always have me watching him. He will always have me watching John Randall out in Minnesota. Those are the two guys that I grew up, that my father made sure I watched. And, you know, so when I got a chance to meet him, you know, I was kind of, you know, in awe a little bit because this was my first time meeting someone that I actually idolized. And, you know, there's other guys that I would like to meet in my life, like Mike Tyson, Michael Jordan. I would love to meet Muhammad Ali, but he was one of those guys that were on that list for me. And I got to meet him, and I got his autograph, and I wasn't shy about asking for it. It was kind of, you know, awkward, but I don't care.
Were you a kid at that point?
Or were you no, I'm talking about just now.
Just now? You just asked
last him. Year.
Last year, you asked the first autograph?
Actually, I had him sign my hat, and, you know, I'm going to get it framed. I'm going to put it in a little thing. And
Did he give you any football advice that you took to heart that you have used?
I listen to a lot of things he's saying in the media. You know, he's a very busy guy, and he's had just as a successful post-football career as he did when he was playing. So he's always on the move. So whenever I see him, I just, you know, kind of look. And I had an opportunity to go talk to him, but I didn't really ask him about anything like that. But, you know, I listen to a lot of things he's saying in the media and just comments he makes and interviews he gave in the past about the mentality and the mindset and the will to win and things like that. So, you know, that's why I really kind of get most of my information from, because he's such a busy guy, and, you know, plus I'd be kind of shy, you know.
Did he know who you were?
I'm pretty sure he knows who all the defensive linemen is.
Right.
I will hope he do.
Yeah, right. But did you have to go up to him and say, you know, hey, Michael, how you doing? I'm Robert.
No. Well, I went up to him like a fan does. You know, I went up to him and said, hey, I'm Robert Ayers. You know, it's always been a dream of mine to meet you. And, you know, I carried him. You know, I went up to him like a fan, and, you know, that's how I view it. You know, I'm a fan of his, and I idolized him, and so, you know, that's how I handled it.
Robert,
it was in the lunchroom.
And obviously the tradition that he has with the Giants, what did it mean to have Banks talk to you guys the other day? Cole Banks addressing you guys.
That was big for me because, you know, like I said, he's a little bit before where I really started catching on. But, you know, the legacy around here is just tremendous. You know, all my family, they're diehard Giants fans. I mean, they shed tears when we lose. And so, you know, they grew up watching those games, watching those guys, and they could name anyone from any era, you know. And so to be able to wear this uniform and to play for this organization, it means a lot, and it means a lot to have those guys that my family idolized and my family grew up watching. It means a lot for me to hear those people talk to me and give me advice. So, you know, it was a real special moment, and, you know, I just try to enjoy all of it because, you know, the game doesn't last forever, so I try to maximize every chance I get and every person I get to meet. I just try to enjoy it.
Robert, what have you and Cullen been stressing to the rest of the
defensive
linemen, those people
you guys are talking about? Man, there's a lot of things, man. Every day is something new. Every day is something we need to focus on. Every day is something we need to improve on. There's never a day that goes by where we can say, oh, we did good today. We don't need to get better. So every day, you know, we practice and we look at what we did and we study it and we figure out what we need to correct and we move forward. So, you know, I'm just kind of like I'm just riding his coattail, man. He's been in this game so long, and I'm just following him. I'm learning, and if I have something I need to say, then I say it, and so forth. I think we have that respect for each other in the room now to where anyone can speak up. So we all just, you know, being positive and wanting to work and emphasizing what needs to be, you know, what needs to be said, and, you know, kind of being a second voice for the coaches, so to speak. And so that's just how we handle it, and just everything basically answer your question.
Yeah. I know you spoke about JPP a little bit last week, but team management finally spoke to him yesterday. How much communication has there been with guys in the locker room with him during this ordeal?
I don't know. I don't know what other people do. You know, I'm not monitoring their phones, you know, but I know the type of conversations I have with him is just to know that, you know, we support him. You know, I don't really reach out to him for feedback. You know, I just let him know that we're here for him because I know how it is when you're in situations, you're in tough situations. I've been there in my career, whether in college or, you know, whether I was going through struggles as a first-round draft pick rookie, and I'm not, you know, and I know how it is to have people in your ear. So for me, it's just more of a support system that I want to let him know that I'm here for him. It's not necessarily what's going on, how you doing, when you coming back. It's just, you know, look, man, we're here for you. You know, the fans, you know, they may not understand what you're going through. You know, the organization may not understand what you go through. But as players, we have a bond, and we know that we're on the outside of the business part of it. And so whenever someone's doing something that they believe in their heart that is at their best interest, I'll never knock them, whether I disagree or agree. If he believes that in his heart he's doing what's best for him, then I'll support him.